to you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. One of the scribes came to Jesus and asked him, "Which is the first of all the commandments?" Jesus replied, "The first is this, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these.'" The scribe said to him, "Well said, teacher. You are right in saying he is one and there is no other than he. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, to love your neighbor as yourself, is worth more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered with understanding, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to ask him any more questions. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
On Ash Wednesday, the first phrase of the Word of God that we heard was through the prophet Joel, to rip open our hearts, return to the Lord with your whole heart. In this second phase of Lent, in which we ponder the meaning of baptism to help those preparing for baptism, as well as to help us who have been baptized to appreciate what it really has meant in our life, we can focus on today's gospel passage because it shows us what returning to the Lord with our whole heart means. This is one of the most popular gospel passages for baptism because it describes our end of the covenant that we make with God. And when Jesus says that the most important thing we need to do in life is to love God with all we've got, that's what he had come into the world in order to help us to do. In order to return to the Lord with our whole heart, ripping our hearts open rather than our garments, we need Jesus' help. At the beginning of this Mass, we prayed, "Pour out your grace, O Lord, into our hearts, so that helped by you, we can fulfill the heavenly precepts you command." At the end of today's first reading, when Hosea is talking about the straight path that we're called to walk in, he says, "Because of me, you bear fruit." God is constantly giving us the grace to do what he commands. But it's important for us to focus on what Jesus precisely indicates to us today. A lot of the times we can think that we love God by the fact that we have kind feelings toward God. We recognize that he's good. We certainly don't hate him. But just as Jesus says to the scribe who had come up, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." To actually enter into the kingdom, we have to do more than know this, but we have to do it. So what does it mean to love the Lord not with 5 or 25 or 75 or 95%, but all? Well, if we're going to love him with all our mind must be filled with the thoughts of God. It'll be shown when we ask the Lord, "Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth," that we'll be praying and putting ourselves in a place in which God can convey his thoughts to us in lights or in gentle whispers. It'll mean that we're doing spiritual reading. It'll mean that we're getting to know sacred scripture so much better. To love the Lord with all our mind begins there. Second, to love the Lord with all our heart means that we love the Lord above other loves. Jesus says elsewhere in the gospel that anyone who loves father and mother, children and lands, even his very own life, more than me is not my disciple. To love the Lord with all our heart means to put him first. and to try to align everything in our life to that love. To love Him with all our strength means we're going to be making the effort to get up early in the morning, to come to Mass, for example. We're going to make the effort to sacrifice for Him, because love is always this capacity to sacrifice. And we'll be able to tell our genuine love for the Lord by the sacrifice that we're willing to make for Him. And to love Him with all our soul means that we seek to remain in the state of grace always, so that there's nothing foreign to this relationship with God within. God wants to give us the help He knows we need in order to do that. It starts with His love, as we heard a few days ago at Daily Mass. He has given us $6 billion worth of mercy. He wants us to be able to live in that love. And then first to be able to love Him back with the very love with which He has filled our hearts. As we heard on Sunday, the Holy Spirit has been poured into our hearts. And the first response of that is with the love of God to love God back. But then Jesus proffers a commentary. He says the second is like it. He wasn't asked for the second, but it was too important not to say, because it is the means by which the first will become real. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these. We know in the Last Supper, Jesus didn't say, love me as I have loved you, but love one another as I have loved you. He didn't say to St. Peter after the resurrection, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And when Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you, Jesus didn't say, great, that's all I was asking for. He said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. Peter's love for Jesus would be shown in his love for all those that Jesus had entrusted to him. So we need to ask ourselves, do we love our neighbor with our whole mind? Are we trying to understand them? Are we trying to see which ways we're going to be able to fulfill the spiritual works of mercy, for example, in their regard? Instructing the particular ignorances they have, admonishing them joyfully in a way that will help them. Do we seek to love them with our whole mind? Do we use our mind apostolically? Do we seek to love them with our whole heart? Or do we fake it, showing signs of Christian charity on the outside, but our heart far away? Do we love them with our strength? Do we make the effort truly to sacrifice for them, even being patient with them when they're driving us crazy? We love Him with our whole soul, especially that part of the soul in which God abides, which is supposed to be all of it. Do we love our neighbor with God, or do we seek to do it on our own strength? Pope Benedict wrote in his first encyclical on God as love that God can command us to love precisely because He has begun with the gift. He's given us all the help He knows we need in order to be able to do it. And then He asks us to live that way. He makes us rich, but then He tells us to share that wealth. That's the way the whole Christian life works. And as we seek in Lent to return to the Lord with our whole heart, God precedes that return by giving us the gift to return, and then once returned to leave changed. The greatest way God gives Himself to us so that together with Him we might love with everything He's given us is in the Holy Eucharist, in which Jesus comes to abide within. What an incredible privilege this is that we should never take for granted, especially in this time of the coronavirus. But this is supposed to be truly consequential. There are many Christians who think that taking 2 Advils will have a serious impact. If they've got a headache, it'll change their life in some noticeable way. But a lot of the times we routinely receive Jesus in Holy Communion, not recognizing that it's supposed to impact our life just as much as when Mary Magdalene saw Jesus risen from the dead in the garden. today as we prepare to receive this medicine of immortality. Let us ask him from within to help us, together with him, to love the Father by the power of the Holy Spirit with all we are and have, and then to make our life a commentary in the words of consecration, going out with Jesus to love others as he loves us here. This is the way. We won't be far from the kingdom, but in the kingdom.